You're listening to the Vegans Explore Network, found at vegansexplore.com.
I do want to go on to more of a current topic that's come out. You know, the big news has been the food pyramid, the suggested food, I'm just going to call it a food pyramid. And in going through it, I did a podcast on it, kind of went a deep dive on some of the recommendations. And one thing that I found is that they're putting an emphasis on lower saturated fats. Mm-hmm. They're also at the same breath saying to increase your meat and dairy intake. So there's a lot of contradictory information. So from your perspective, what is your take on the chart? And what recommendations would you have for people who may decide to follow that as a guide for what they eat?
Are you talking about the new inverted food pyramid? It's hard to feel anything but despair at this whole sad chapter. The science is so solid that saturated fat is pro-inflammatory, raises cholesterol level, and inhibits artery function, and it's the one of the main drivers of atherosclerotic plaque formation in the artery walls. And for them to say eat more meat, more dairy, which equals more saturated fats, full fat dairy products there, and more red meat, you're just loading up with saturated fat. And I think there's lots of non-scientific motivation here. I'm sure the meat and dairy industry have gotten the ear of many of the policymakers. I'm sure that these folks are the policy folks are in the carnivore camp and the paleo camp, and now we got the control room. Let's officially sanction that. Well, and that's what we're seeing here. But Mother Nature and the human body said, nope, doesn't work like that. And what's going to happen, I'm sad to say, is that I think it is inevitable that if people really follow this advice, and they don't really follow the government recommendations very much, but if people really do follow this advice and they start eating large amounts of red meat and dairy products, etc., I'll put a $1,000 bill on the table. Just a matter of how many months it's going to have to go by before those articles start showing up in the medical journals. Carnivore diet associated with increased stroke risk. Paleo diet associated with increased colon cancer risk. Meat-based diet, more Alzheimer's disease. Because that's what they're going to show, and that's what they're going to be producing. And my left eyebrow will not go up this much when I see those studies. My head will shake. Say, of course, you know, we are not carnivorous apes, no matter what they think. We are plant-eating hominids, like our gorilla cousins are, and it's a violation of natural law to be eating the diet of mountain lions and eating all this animal flesh and cow's milk. These are unnatural foods for us. And so so I would tell people at this point, I would not base my dietary choices on what the current political administration is advising. We are plant-eating hominids. Base your diet as much as possible on whole plant foods. Make it delicious, and don't look in the rearview mirror. And it's okay to turn the channel when you see people coming along with advice that clearly is against logic here. We've seen that a plant-based diet will reverse these diseases. Meat-based diets do not melt away atherosclerotic plaques. Plant-based diets do. That's really all you need to know. So this time, take a pass on this government advice.
And as we start to wind down, I have two more questions for you. The second and last question is, I won't go into detail because there was a period of our lives that we probably want to forget, but not relive, but not forget, because you won't want to relive the past. There's been a growing distrust of the medical institution for one reason or another. And people are going more towards holistic, you know, food as their medicine, you know, looking at things like sea moss and ashwagandha and going that route because they don't trust, even if they go to the hospital, that there won't be something where they're going to pick up something from from the hospital. So there's just this growing distrust of the profession as a whole. What would you say to those people, even with the plant-based medicine conversation, to those people who have gone pulled away from even going to get things checked out because they're afraid that it's going to get worse when they go there? What would you say to those individuals?
Okay. Well, it's okay in this day and age to, and I don't mean this in a disparaging manner, but treat your doctor pretty much like your auto mechanic. If you got a knock under the hood there, your engine, go take your car into the mechanic and get a diagnosis and get an appropriate treatment. And the same thing, you know, you fall and you gash your arm open, go to the local urgent care unit, get your arm sewed up. And so that's an appropriate use for modern medicine. Shouldn't be terribly controversial. If you've got a medical issue, high blood pressure, diabetes, etc., know that it's the food. Find your way to a whole food plant-based diet and give it at least a month, but preferably 3 months, 6 months. See if those problems don't start disappearing. And if they do, which they will, just ride that till you get a steady state of good health. Your doctor, you know, if I didn't have to see one in the mirror every morning, I would never see a doctor, but I'm stuck with that reflection in the mirror there. But really, I take no medications. I have no need for a physician at this point, and it's okay. I've just turned 79. It's okay not to be on medications. So by and large, work with your doctor or the resources in our book, Moving Medicine Forward, but let the magic of a whole food plant-based diet get your body truly healthy on the inside. Then just use the doctors for emergencies and for, you know, really complex problems there. And be a partner. Unless you're, badly injured or deathly ill, you know, when you go see your doctor, just present your issues, listen to what they have to say, and then stand up, shake hands, say thank you for your input. Let me go home and think about what you said. And I'll get back to you as far as my decision, what I want to do about this. The doctors are working for you, not the other way around. So get the information from them, do your own research, and if it makes sense to you, then follow the recommendations. So they're not there to make money off of you. Everybody's trying to do the best they can, including the doctors. It's become so political again with the COVID thing and the vaccination thing and all that. Yeah, and it's easy to get cynical. They're all in it for the money. They're all just about power. They're all lying to you. You know, this morass that we're in, fueled by what we read on the internet, has become really destructive. But again, take control of your own health, put a healthy food stream through your body every day. The body will correct imbalances and only see your doctor in emergencies or for complex situations. And work with your doctor, if you are on medications, to get off of them. There's a lovely skill that doctors can learn called de-prescribing. How do you get patients off the medication? And so work with your doctor to have them de-prescribe the pills that you're on as you get healthier. And as soon you'll just, I tell my patients, I want to see you in two places and two places only. At the health food store buying your tofu and out on the bicycle path where I'll wave as we pass you. That's the only place I really want to see you. Go live your life. Don't be a professional patient. And so everyone can take their health into their own hands there. Work with your doctor, but don't give your power weights down. Be a discriminating consumer of medical advice.
And you brought up a good point. It's a little part two of that. You mentioned doing your research. What are your thoughts on things like ChatGPT and Claude and Perplexity and people using that as their surrogate doctor to find information? What are your thoughts on that?
What an age we live in, 21st century. I'm really part appalled, but part in awe of it. And it turns out that ChatGPT speaks fluent medicine. I can give it, I can have conversations with it about really esoteric points of biochemistry and molecular physiology, and it hangs right in. It knows all this stuff. It's always the best professor I could ever want. And so, and it hasn't hallucinated on me that I'm aware of when I ask for studies that for it to cite. So it's a useful tool. But again, yeah, you've got to place it in the right context. It's got to really be applicable to you. And there's got to be a solid base of experience. I ask it to cite specific studies with footnotes from medical journals as far as the incidence of strokes among vegans. You know, do they get strokes or don't they? And ChatGPT will come back with the information. Or I ask, what's the best approach to this patient who has lupus, but is concerned about their protein intake? What would be a good diet for them? And ChatGPT comes up with some brilliant suggestions. So I really like it, but I'm a physician, and if it does present the suggestions that are impractical, I'll be aware of that one. So just like Dr. Google, who's been around for a while here, ChatGPT can be a useful ally, but buyer beware, and talk to a doctor after you get that advice. Run it past somebody who's in the health profession who may give you a different viewing of it. By and large, they're pretty good.